Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All of us at Podcast One want to say thank you for listening to this show. We would also like to ask a small favor of you. It'll take less than 10 minutes, and if you're one of the first few people to fill out the survey, we'll give you something for your time. We would like you to complete a short survey for us to help make things better around here. Just go to listeningsurvey.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's listeningsurvey.com. The first 125 people to go and complete this survey will get a $10 gift certificate to restaurant.com, and there is a chance to win an additional $100 Amazon gift card. Filling out the survey will really help us out. Go to listeningsurvey.com, and thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the Toolbox, where we'll take a brief respite from September to answer some fan mail. Adam in La Cañada writes in, "Can you please give me one reason to like the Eurythmics? And is that chick a dude?" Well, Adam, yes and no. The dude is Dave Stewart, and the slightly less dudish one is Annie Lennox. And here's a reason to love this band. Hey, I saved the world today on the Toolbox.
Monday finds you like a bomb. It's been left ticking there too long. You're bleeding. Some days there's nothing left to learn from the point of no return. You're leaving.
Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dennis Miller and Dave Damashek. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, a man who's never been the creep of the week, Adam Carolla.
Yeah. Get it on. Got to get on. Just become in to get on. Thanks for tuning in. And we love it when you share this free podcast with a friend, a coworker, a loved one. So thanks in advance for that. I like reading your tweets about you and your dad listening, or coworkers or whatever. So send me those. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
Shut up and F my a-hole.
Dave Damashek in studio.
Cruising Glaja, Pittsburgh in the house and on the phone. Damashek here. Dennis Miller still to come.
Let me tell you, I've got your celebrity crush. Now, we like the Temu and Timu and Temu and Chichu. And we like the Frusian Glaja and all that kind of stuff. Sure. You know who's doing a lot of social activism right now?
Who's that?
Piper Perabo. That's got to be your favorite celebrity of all time. What would that sound
Piper
like?
Piper Perabo. Oh. I got three words for Perabo. Ooh, la, and lie.
What if she got together with Temu and Chichu?
Temu Perabo? I'd like to introduce you to Mrs. Piper Perabo Chichu.
You just got to, there's got to be some party where some, you know, ex-hockey greats commingle with some celebrity activist, and Sheck's just there, and he's kind of doing the introductions as a bridge from one world to the next, the celebrity world to the frozen
ice world. I like that.
Maybe,
I don't know if any, you know, forward-thinking bands out there, rock bands, have some stadium shows coming up. Instead of letting a opening band maybe steal a little bit of your thunder, Damashek can just come out and say names like that for you for like 20 minutes, half hour.
Well, maybe you bring them out on stage,
one
maybe
by one,
Temu and Piper Perabo.
And if they're a modern day, if they're a modern day power couple, they'll hyphenate.
Yeah,
so you get it every time.
Let me explain my wiring.
That sounds awesome.
There's Temu himself. He loved it.
Almost nothing reminds me of my kids, but when I hear a celebrity name, I go, Sheck. Sheck would love that name.
That's right. File it away.
Then my son comes in and says, Papa, can we have a catch? And I go, get, skedaddle!
Quiet, I'm running my Bucks lap.
I pump a shotgun and I go, go on, get!
As I'm halfway through my life now, I'm proud to be able to say that this man stands for something. And it's
That's
saying
right.
Stupid name.
So I also want to... October has been turned to Guactober with Mike Dawson.
at the helm. Is this Guacamole Fest going on? Is the World Championship of Guacamole happening in October?
The World Championship of Guacamole is on October 13th.
Guactober!
Guactober!
Wow.
It's on. Everybody loves guacamole. Everybody makes guacamole, but who makes the best in the world?
Mm.
Nobody knows. Until now.
Let me just say this, Mike, Dawson, and anyone listening. I live in a world with extremes. Mm-hmm. I live in a world where I get an email from my accountant and he goes, you owe the IRS $1 million, so you better get it together. And then I live in a world where I wake up and someone says, Ford's going to give you $500,000 for 2 days' work. So there's a lot of extremes in my world. Mm-hmm. So a week ago when Dawson says to me, big news, we need to talk. And I say, okay.
He said that to me 8 minutes ago.
And he says, this is good. And I go, bad news? Like IRS, $1 million? Yeah. Or good news? Like Ford's giving you a bunch of money. And he says, big news and good. So, of course, I shift over closer to the 500K mark than I do the $1 million. And he says, we're going to walk and we're going to talk. And I said, all right. Because in between shows, I'm running over the other shop to yell at everybody. And then he rolls out the big news. Guactober.
Guac, talk, guac.
World Championship of Guacamole is coming to a town nearest you.
It's happening. It's so good. I used the word awesome with you, and you said this better be awesome, and you weren't disappointed.
Yeah. Not,
if anything,
not
you undersold
outwardly.
If anything, you undersold it.
Inwardly, when I hear awesome, I think I have a couple of dollar signs attached to it. And the Guac Fest, I don't know if they're looking for a Grand Marshal and if they just trade out Hoss and other forms of avocado, or maybe they'll trade out by the way, the Mexican joint I go to has the guac cart where the guy rolls
made.
The cart by there. Nothing better than that. I don't know what you get, a wooden bowl.
We're making a championship belt.
Oh, a belt.
Oh, it's a belt.
All right, so it is.
Oh, Spence's guacamole?
It's a belt.
Yeah, okay.
And
well, I hope it's not taking place the same day the Ford shoot's going down, because I'm going to have some pretty disappointing news for Baby
choice.
Doll. Yeah.
Corolla Drinks is the big sponsor.
Were you,
this,
by
so
the
we're
way?
Gonna, all right. We're going to move a lot of Endless Rant beer, and they make these great blended mangria drinks.
All right.
It'll be Taco Bar, Nacho Bar. If you want to enter, go to officialwcog.com. We're still looking for judges. We've teamed up with Chive TV, and if you create a avocado or guacamole related video, submit it to Chive TV, you have a chance to be a judge.
Felt like Adam just volunteered himself when he said you're looking for a master of ceremonies.
What month is it again?
October 13th.
What month?
Come on.
My bad.
All right.
October 13th.
All right. We'll look forward to that. News in the world of Freshek, and we talk about this all the time, the stuff that seems, you realize it's like, oh my God, what a weird happenstance, and then you explain it to someone and it doesn't feel weird to them at all. To you, it feels like a crazy coincidence. To them, it's like, This is a little bit of a crazy coincidence, okay. I think. But you tell me. First, I want to thank our sponsors for this half of the show. Lisa, two E's in there, lisa.com, lisabed/Adam. Simply Safe, two I's in there. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Castrol Edge, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. You tell me. I woke up a few days ago, last week, on a Thursday, and I sat down and I opened my Twitter, and there were some responses to me and Sheck and our good sports talking about the snake Kenny Stabler.
Yeah, I saw
As a matter of fact, Maxipata might even be able to find that. It was Kenny Stabler starting for the Oakland Raiders, just took a birdcage type basic cross face mask and cut the center bar out, because the skilled position guys don't normally like that. But they had drop face masks that he could have used, and it was bizarre to me that in modern times someone literally took a hacksaw at this level. So I was looking at it, and I was reading some of the comments, and somebody said, didn't that guy take a hacksaw to a 55 Chevy? And I replied, no, That was Jack Hacksaw Reynolds. There was a linebacker for the Rams. I believe his name was Jack Reynolds. They call him Hacksaw, yep. Hacksaw Reynolds. Mm-hmm. And lore had it that after a loss, he took a hacksaw, and he was so frustrated, he hacksawed a car in half, which probably didn't happen, but that's how he got his name.
Okay.
So I wrote back, Hacksaw Reynolds. And then I realized a few moments later that I think I'd spelled Reynolds R-E-N O-L-D-S or something.
Without the Y.
Without the Y. And I was just sitting there looking at it going, 10 minutes later, somebody retweeted. No one said anything, but I went, I don't think it was Reynolds. I think it was Reynolds, like R-E-Y. That's probably how he spelled it. And I went and looked it up. Hacksaw Reynolds. And I was like, all right, let me correct my Reynolds spelling. And I just wrote Reynolds. That's how you spell it. I haven't tweeted about this guy or wrote it or anything. And then I dashed out, jumped in the car, and the phone rang, and it was Max Apata, and he went, Burt Reynolds is dead. And I went, wow, I just spent a lot of time on the word Reynolds for no, in a weird sort of way. I don't write about Hacksaw Reynolds. And for some reason, Reynolds needed to be corrected. I needed to go look it up and spell it the right way. Of course, I think he spells it the same way Burt spells his. I just woke up on a Thursday morning, spent a considerable amount of time on the word Reynolds, and I had no idea Burt Reynolds died, and I jumped in my car, and Chris informed me. So,
did you kill Burt Reynolds?
Super scary weird, but a little kind of weird,
well,
right?
I'll try to build on that a little bit. Both guys are best known for what? Both play football. Burt Reynolds famously played at Florida State, and Burt Reynolds' distinguishing physical feature was his mustache, of course. What's Hacksaw Reynolds? He had great facial hair.
He had a great mustache. A little handlebar-y, I believe, back in the day. Max Bad, don't put a picture up from him in junior high. Please wait for one where he has
a dusting of facial hair.
Handlebar-y mustache.
Hacksaw Reynolds is one of those guys who was probably born like 28 years old with facial hair.
Back when there would be
And drinking
back
whiskey.
When every defense had at least three guys named Jack. Now there's nobody named Jack on the defensive side of the ball or even near the field. They're all umpires now.
Miles Jack.
His resting face is bar brawl.
Where did he get hacksaw? Did he hacksaw a car in half, as lore would have
it? That sounds apocryphal.
Well, as I've said before, by the way, the even crazier off-the-field deed was Fats Holmes, defensive tackle for the world champion Pittsburgh Steelers, original member of the Steel Curtain defense. Once he had some severe mental problems, and once he was being he thought he was being chased by, I think, the police, and the police actually were above him in a helicopter, and he had a gun in his car, and so he shot it at the police helicopter.
Oh, God.
This is in the mid-70s. I mean, now it's like a cute little anecdote. Yeah. Like, one guy's out there with a hacksaw chopping up his car. The other guy's firing guns.
The signs of CCE were everywhere.
What? What was that, like 1780? Nope, that was within our lifetime.
You have the Hacksaw Reynolds story, by the way, Max Banner?
Yeah, so in 69, his previously unbeaten University of Tennessee team returned from an embarrassing 38-0 road loss to Ole Miss. He came back to school, was very upset, said, I had to do something to relieve my frustration. Cut an abandoned 1953 Chevrolet Bel Air. Some accounts claim it was a Porsche, but most say,
They didn't have any rusting out Porsches from 1953 in this country. In Tennessee, they barely landed.
Are we positive it was abandoned? I like that's in there. How to says
hey,
who?
What gives?
We're trying to enjoy this drive-in theater. Please have kids in the back. There's metal shavings in their popcorn.
I hope it wasn't one of the Fijis, because you know they're going to do a dance on our face if they find out.
Oh, yeah. Right. Those guys are the Delts as well. All right, so he did hacksaw, allegedly. And it was an old Chevy. All right, I'll tell you about that in a second. Yes, Brent.
All this talk of coincidences. Are you aware of the recurring bit that Damashek and I do on his podcast, The Actor Redundancies? We've brought this up once or twice before. Do you remember?
No.
Dave's a big fan of these. Give him your Keanu Reeves example.
These are
actors who do the same thing in more than one movie that is not related at all. It's not like, oh, Sylvester Stallone plays the same character. Not that. Now, these are weird coincidences.
Right. My favorite one is that Kevin Spacey is the subject of a police sketch artist in not one, but two movies in Seven and in Usual Suspects, randomly, for whatever reason, he is drawing, and it's integral to both plots, that his picture, and by the way, as a side note, the Seven artist is much better than the did, or no, I'm sorry, Usual Suspects is much better. The Seven one should be fired.
Oh, this is like how Reese Witherspoon's always a taxidermist.
That's right. It's exactly
it's
the same
kind
thing.
Of thing.
Literally the same.
Same thing?
Literally the same. Keanu
Always.
Reeves, his backstory for not one but two characters, Shane Falco and Johnny Utah, he was the Ohio State quarterback who took the Buckeyes to bowl games. Yeah. And also, important to point out to football fans, which one's better, Johnny Utah? Because they went to the Rose Bowl, the Buckeyes, and right. This predates the BCS.
That means they won the Big Ten.
So that means they won the Big Ten, whereas Shane Falco merely went to the Sugar Bowl.
Hold
so
on.
They were good, but not
at
as
large,
good.
Baby. Now! You sound like Lynette. At some point, I always have to say that.
Anyway, that's our actor redundancy.
I'll go on Dave's show, the Dave Damashek football program, every 6-8 months, whatever it is, and we'll go over. I keep a list. Every time I think I want to add it to it. And we've gotten a few dozen of these.
People funny, send them along.
It's
yeah.
funny that you said
how dare you?
In the coincidence department that you talked about the sketch artist in Spacey because I wrote down something that I tweeted last week as well, which is a weird thing. And we should probably start a new segment like Rich Man, Poor Man, but maybe it's Here to Stay or something like that. I said, it's 2018. If you'd gotten hold of me in 1995 and said, what's going to be around in 2018? The cordless phone.
Jonah Osborne.
Not a cell phone. The cordless phone or courtroom sketch artist. I'd say, well, no one's ever going to give up their phone. You need your phone. What phone are you going to, when you're in your house, how are you going to talk to the outside world? So this, courtroom sketch artist is 1995. Yeah, I don't even know why we even have them now. Forget about when we're all in hovercraft.
Have they heard of Polaroids? Hello.
Right. We're going to be watching the courtroom on our watches.
I turn on Rachel Maddow, and I'm looking at sketch artist renditions of Manafort's thing. And I realized people laugh at me if I ever talk to them about a cordless phone in your
by
home.
By the way, is there a profession that has more range and talent than the police sketch artist? Because some are spot on and you say, wow, well done. And also has a little style to it, as a matter of fact. And then other ones like, wait, who's that supposed to be? That's supposed to be Tom Brady?
That's
what?
Picasso.
It's an 83-year-old man. What?
Yeah, right. There
so
is
every,
that.
With every movie I see and I stumble, like I just saw A Quiet Place right a few months ago, and that was the second time Emily Blunt has defended a family in the distant, in like the woods, the remote woods with a shotgun, and they're in a Looper, whether she was defending her young child with a shotgun in the remote woods.
I do not believe, sorry for sounding like Bill Cosby, I don't believe that people knowingly rip off stuff.
No, these are not. These just happen. You're right.
No,
these
do. But I do believe, much like comedians do, oftentimes you just watch somebody else's work and you go, well, I agree with that, or that seems good.
Yeah.
And whether you design cars or make movies or do stand-up, you see other people's work, and then at some point you're going, let's see, what should she be holding? A pitchfork?
A
torch?
Oh, you want to talk about holding
snow
something
shovel.
Here? This might get past either of the examples I just gave. Bald, go ahead. Tell everybody. I'm going to do it, as a matter of fact, because Ace loves the Predator. You know, he loves Predator. 48 Hours
Billy.
And Predator. Yeah. Billy Jack. Remember Billy?
The Indian.
The Indian who stands Billy Bear.
Yeah.
He stands on the log as Predator comes by.
And that's
the most
manly thing ever.
That's exactly right, Ace. Thank you for...
Manly act in any movie.
He takes a giant Rambo knife.
I can't recall it like Shaq, but yes.
He's shirtless, and he takes his Rambo knife, and he stands out on the log, and he cuts his own chest to prepare for the Predator, as if to say, bring it on! Ho, 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 ho,
all right, all right.
Also, 48 Hours, he's one of the bad guys. He is shirtless and holding a Rambo knife when Eddie Murphy shoots him dead. And Predator kills him dead, holding a giant Rambo knife and shirtless.
Both
what? How did that happen?
Both named Billy. Both characters named Billy.
I don't think it's a coincidence. I think people see stuff, they're influenced, it gets lodged in the back of their mind. And they regurgitate it at some point when they sit at the word processor.
I don't know why, but I feel like you need to lose the shirt, Billy. You know, like the bread.
Yeah, that's weird.
All right.
So
yeah.
The whole reason I brought it up, I stumbled across what I think is the best one. And I hope you guys have seen at least one of these movies, if not both. I revealed this on the last time I was on. See if you remember, Dave.
I know it is.
In 8mm and True Romance. Mm-hmm. James Gandolfini gets set on fire and burned alive. The respective movies who set him on fire are Nick Cage and what's her face?
Patricia Arquette.
Who were married in real life!
Now you really sound like
No. That is crazy, Ace. That's crazy. Think about it, Greg.
They were married in
Think
real
about
life.
It. Those right. two had to have had a conversation. We both killed. Maybe they came together initially over their mutual murdering.
That's probably what
you
brought them together.
You burned James Gandolfini, so did I.
All right. Dennis Miller's on the blower. We'll play a Rotten Tomatoes game with Dennis. You've been briefed, Sheck. You know how to play the game.
Sure,
I'm curious. You run breadth and width with the movies is strong, so I feel good. First, I'll tell you about Lisa. Distracted, forgetting things, making mistakes at work. A quality night's sleep, that's what you need. And right now, you need Lisa. You need a good mattress. It makes a difference. More than 30 years of experience in mattress engineering, hundreds of hours of testing, fraction of the cost of traditional mattresses, three foam layers provide cooling, pressure relief, body contouring, and support. Over 300,000 happy Lisa sleepers agree. Lisa, the best mattress at the best price. You know, order your Lisa mattress online at lisa.com/Adam. You can try it out. 100 nights for free. Try it out. 100 nights. Over 3 months. What are we going to get into? The new year? If you don't like this thing? Yeah. Ships direct to your door in a convenient box. Free shipping. Free returns. Nothing better. That's L-E-E-S-A. Lisa Dawson.
Find the right mattress for you at lisa.com/Adam and get the rest you need tonight. Don't miss Lisa's limited time Labor Day sale. Extended now through September 13th. Get up to $235 off and free shipping on the Lisa mattress at lisa.com/Adam and enter promo code Adam at checkout. That's L-E-E-S-A.com/Adam. Promo code Adam.
All right. The great Dennis Miller is on the phone. The Dennis Miller option. And you can listen.
This is Mr. Damashek in the room with us.
Sheck's in the room.
Dennis Miller, Pittsburgh accent, yeah. Ready to go.
I have to tell you, Sheck, that I think Obama opened the floodgates with his speech this morning because Andy Reid just took credit for last night's Eagle victory. Everybody's going way back.
Where's Andy? I miss Andy Reid.
He's in KC.
Is he in KC?
Yeah.
All right. This is as long as it's a cold weather climate.
He's eating as we speak.
When he wears that snowmobile jumpsuit like Gallagher. Oh, no, like Sinbad. Like Sinbad out on stage. Nothing better. Nothing better than fat guy, mustache, cold weather.
he looks like Tennessee Tuxedo's protege, Chumley. Which looks like some sort of a walrus with a clipboard.
Chumley was a penguin.
Okay. No, he was a walrus.
Oh, he was a walrus.
Tennessee Tuxedo was a penguin.
He was a penguin. Oh, I got it. Damn it. Flipped and flopped on
G Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, come in today.
Hey, Dennis, you can listen, by the way, to the Dennis Miller option on Podcast One and wherever you hear podcasts. You ready to play the game, Dennis?
Yeah, and real quickly, I saw that Leno episode. It was great, man. You guys are great fun together, the car thing.
Yeah, I drove around in my 935 up at Willow Springs with Leno.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah,
it was fun, too, though.
It was fun, but that car does not possess a passenger seat. It only possesses a driver's seat for weight, and all racing seats are literally 11 inches wide at the base, and I put a racing seat in that car, and then we stuffed Jay's denim clad ass into that car, and it was fun. I'm glad you enjoyed it. All right, here
we
go.
The beauty of driving at high speed with Leno real quickly is he has an airbag installed in his own chin, so you don't have to put it in.
He does, and he's a great passenger. He just literally sits there while everyone else white knuckles it. He's like, well, go faster. All right, let's play the game.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now
it's time to play.
This five-way battle royale for the podium takes place in the Steel City. Today's round featuring films that are set in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So grab a sandwich with some fries on it and kick back. Let's play the Rotten Tomatoes game. Up first, former Pittsburgh Penguins owner Howard Baldwin produced this film. Answers the question, what would Jean-Claude Van Damme do when a terrorist plot hatches during a Penguins Blackhawks game? Answer, he would stay and fight for his city, unlike Le'Veon Bell. In 1995's Sudden Death.
Wow.
Now,
terror goes into overtime.
I have a...
terror's into shootouts.
I have a list of movies where I'm convinced they came up with the title before they came up with the premise of the movie. Sudden Death is near the top. Yeah. Where someone went there, well, then write the movie around
it. Van Damme has to kill the Pittsburgh Penguins mascot at one point in this picture.
All right.
And puts on the pads and plays some goal.
Seen the entire thing. The critics couldn't have been kind. But again, this could be 14 or it could be 41. We don't know. Sheck, we're going to lock it in. We'll have Dennis give a verbal lock, and then we will get on with our... lives. I am locked in. Is everyone locked in? All right. Dennis Miller, how say you?
All I remember about this film is that great scene they built to where Van Damme did a complete leg split at center ice and had a dumb and dumber incident with his ball sack on the red circle there where it got stuck. I think the critics like that. I don't think they like much else. I'll say 20.
All right. Brian?
This could knock me out early. I said 48.
Oh, my God.
I said 28.
I thought I was being kind at 12.
Oh, I guess I have wildly missed on this one because I have it at 51.
Oh, this is big.
Sudden Death is rotten at 54%.
Oh, my God. Why? Right.
The men for the boys early.
Wow. And
54.
The people have it at 38. This is a weird thing where movies like this are traditionally 72 with the people and 34 with the critics. It's weird that the critics are up on this one. What are the top critics, Max? That's got to be low, right? So interesting. Well, that's why you have to play the game. All right, you can keep going.
That's why you play the game.
Can I say one thing with Dennis Miller here? Because he may already be aware of this, but I want the world at large to understand. For some reason, Hollywood has it in for Pittsburgh sports teams. I don't know why, but I there is much evidence to prove it. Sudden death. The Penguins are playing in the Stanley Cup final. They get attacked by terrorists. Why? Why the Pittsburgh Penguins? Black Sunday, Super Bowl 10, Cowboys Steelers, terrorist attack. Heaven can wait. The Rams win in overtime. Against whom? The Pittsburgh Steelers. In the natural, who do they beat in the one-game playoff when Roy Hobbs hits the home run? The Pittsburgh Pirates. And shards of glass fall from the sky onto the Pittsburgh Pirates. Perhaps suffering, I don't know what kind of eye injuries. Ocular injury equals the end of your baseball career. Long story short, Hollywood has disdain for the people on the banks of the Three Rivers, and I'm here to put my foot down. In fact, Hollywood today, you're a jerk! Thank you.
All right,
Well, listen, but you got to go way back. They were just trying to level the scoreboard after Paul Douglas won the pennant and the hand of Janet Lee in Angels in the Outfield.
Wow.
To think that Paul Douglas might bed Janet Lee. Well, they had to even it up way down the road.
You two have never been more on brand than you were in the last 4 minutes of this podcast. If both of you died today, I would say they died on brand. All right.
Our next film follows a shy teen in a new town. His crush needs to boost her SAT score so she can get into Penn. And he takes this chance to win her heart. A film this lame should star a person named Logan Lerman, an Emma Watson, an Ezra Miller. From 2012, The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, Lord.
What were the top critics on?
55, so 1% higher.
Oh, they're the same.
On Sunday.
The same. Oh, weird. Okay. Heard, what, was this a book?
Yeah.
And
who's in it? What is it?
Emma Watson and I don't know who
else.
Logan Lerman.
All right, so this is a movie that's supposed. These kind of movies are made for critics, right? Yes.
This could be like a teen tween kind of thing. I don't know.
It feels like this is one of those things where they went to, but was it good? We don't know. Did anyone see this?
Well, it certainly wasn't made for us.
We know it took place in Beaver Falls, but that's about all we got. Let's see. Wow. I don't know. This could be into the 80s, and it could be in the 40s with me.
I'm drawn dead.
I didn't hear a lot about it. People love Emma Watson.
It's No Wonder Boys, which is another picture shot on the banks of the Three Rivers. That's a wonderful picture.
You love Emma Watson? You love Emma Watson?
Yeah, in a legal sort of way. How old is she?
Yeah, she's well under her 20s.
Good to hear her.
She's a good actress.
I've never heard her. All right, let's see. All right, I've no idea, so I'm just going to play it down the middle. What do you got, Dennis?
The only thing I know is the moment Emma Watson left Harry Potter, she spent every waking moment trying to do away with the theory of magic. Because, boy, that is a run-on sentence there. I am going to say... I don't know, I'm so bad at this, but I'll give you something to work off of. I'll say a 71.
71.
In the spirit of Pittsburgh, I went with 66.
Very nice. Barely fresh at 62.
Yeah, I need to crawl back in here. I said 68.
I'm going to go John Stallworth, 82.
Oh, the great John Stallworth.
The perks of being a wallflower. Is certified fresh at 85.
Oh, I knew it was. I didn't want to say too much. I knew it was critically acclaimed. Oh. I remember that.
Damn.
Oh, this is a tough game.
Am I morally responsible to share that information?
Absolutely
if I know
not.
It was critically.
No, you are not. Okay, that is your information.
Not when you ask after we've played the round.
You could have gone full Brian and just said the opposite.
No. I never lie. If a movie's bad, but I love it, I'll always say I love this movie. But I won't lie. I'll never lie.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, a film that follows a fanatical fan of the metal band Steel Dragon as he grinds and rocks to stardom in 2001's Rockstar.
I don't love this movie.
What the hell was this movie? This was a crazy movie to get greenlit.
Yes. This nonsense?
It's insane that this movie was made.
Jennifer Aniston, Mark Wahlberg.
I find them both very likable.
Sure.
And for that reason, I found the movie very watchable, but it was one big cliche after the other, you know. So it was one big pile of cliche, well-executed hamper of cliches.
Was this the one? Was Alec Baldwin in this one?
No, you're thinking of
Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, yeah. I always like the one that has the... English weathered roadie. Worst cologne ever, by the way. But English weathered roadie. Do not slap that on after you shave. The women will not be attracted to you. Weathered roadie. But that scene where over the top English guy is gonna set you straight. Been there, done that, seen it all. All right. Are we connected, Dennis?
I'm here. I'm just mulling this over because I'm like you. I kind of enjoyed this film, but I can't imagine it did well. I'm going to say...
Hold on. Let me lock it in. And I think there's room in everyone's queue for movies where you go, I know this wasn't a great movie. I still kind of liked it.
Absolutely.
I'll say that, but I don't think the critics said that, but they couldn't have crapped all over it. It was sincere. All right. I have locked it in. Go ahead, Dennis.
Well, I know TCM has a feature called The Essentials, where they run the big film every week, and I would place this film in a new series for them called The Eventuals. You should get around to it eventually, but it's not a great film. And I don't think in all the time I've been playing and losing on this game, we've ever had one right at the mean line, so I'm going to say 50, because I agree with you, Ace. It's like hard to completely go out of your way to get that revved up to crap on this, and yet it was cliche, right? So I'm going to go right down the middle, 50.
Brian?
I went a little lower, I agree. It's not good, but it's not the worst movie. It's 41 for me.
Mm.
I said 48.
Yes, inessential though it may be, I do think it was pulled off,
executed.
Decently. Mm-hmm. Decently. Mm-hmm. No Pittsburgh Steelers worn the number since this man hung it up, but today the movie Rockstar can wear it. Jack Ham's number 59.
Interesting.
Oh, this is a theme.
I went right in between Dennis and Gina. I won 49.
Right. Well, nobody gets hurt too badly here.
Right. Rockstar is rotten. At 52. or something.
Okay. All right.
Webster.
Well, we were all pretty tuned into this one. Yeah, not Cole, but Webster.
Mike Webster.
Mike Webster.
Manuel Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Our fourth film features a fighter haunted by his tragic past as he enters the ring against his brother in the Rock'em Sock'em MMA tournament, Sparta. Featuring Tom Hardy, Joel Edgerton, and Nick Nolte as Nick Nolte in 2011's Warrior.
I like this movie.
Nick Nolte nominated for an Oscar for this movie.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's Gina, look at those beautiful. See.
I can't stop.
They look great with their shirts off. I heard this was good, but I should have seen it.
Oh, you would love this movie. Yeah, this is a Corolla movie.
Hardy's an interesting act. Yeah, you'd love this, Ace. Jeez, I can't believe you weren't in this.
yeah.
The grizzled coach.
My feeling is it's always great to get actors. They can always get them for these roles where they go, you're going to get in the best shape of your life. We're going to assign you a nutritionist. We'll have a mobile gym on the set. You're going to start training 4 months out. And you can be a badass, kick-ass, mixed martial artist and never take an elbow or knee to your orbital socket. It's all going to be done through the magic. And that attracts every male star. That's why they always get into these roles. It's basically saying, like, I could get Tom Cruise. Like, or I go, like, hey, Tom Cruise, I'm doing a gay snuff film. And he'd go, I think I'm out. And I go, wait a minute. In the middle, you ride a motorcycle. And he'd go, wait a minute. Okay. Is it Ducati? I'm listening.
Can I keep a Ducati?
Right. When are we shooting? Let's see if I can arrange my calendar. Right. So I'm convinced that there's certain roles where you go, you get to be a badass, and your shirt's going to be off, and you're going to be throwing heel kicks where that attracts actors. All right. A good movie? Supposed to be good?
Was it?
Was it? The critics don't like violence sometimes, but this is... okay, I'm locked in. Dennis?
Honest to God, I see you and Tom Hardy, you in the Mickey role, sitting there. Yeah, I ended up a leg breaker, some stupid lounge. It's a little... It's a life for life! I would go... I like this film. It's tough to shade. I'm going to say... 75.
All right. Yeah. Paul Bryan?
It's a good movie, not a great movie. I said 83.
I said 79.
In the Winter Games, the U.S. Hockey team upset in one of the great upsets in sports history. They upset the USSR. Several days after that, a handful of days after, Mark Johnson, the hero from that team, along with Jim Craig, rode in my car with me and my old man. My old man and I gave him a ride. I have no idea how this happened. From the airport to the igloo as Mark Johnson was about to make his debut for the Pittsburgh Penguins. All that went down in the calendar year of 80.
1980.
Gina, long way around for that one.
Gina Grad. Gina, if you had a period, I think it would sync up with mine. I said 79.
All right.
Somebody's on the nose.
Oh, two people?
Warrior is certified fresh.
Oh, yes.
At 83.
Ah, yeah! I needed that. I needed that.
Hey.
That was you, Bald.
Yes, it was.
Wow. And the people had it at 92.
They
all
had
right.
a little lead going on.
Well, there's still it's still a close game.
Hey, man, put that on your queue. You're going to like Warrior.
As we head into the championship rounds.
Our final film features an inept security guard who does his best to protect the Steel City with his many gadgets in 1999's Inspector Gadget.
No. This one could be zero or it could be two.
Three.
This can... Bye-bye. These are tough.
Inspector. Yeah, Matthew Broderick is in it.
Yes.
Isn't Piper Perabo in this?
Hold on, Chef. Piper Perabo.
You're 4 months off. What's with this film?
Now, this is a kid's film. It's a Disney thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes they'll go, well, if you got kids, it's nice enough fluff for them. It's 50% or whatever. But if you're really judging it, it could be three or four. Now's the time to sort of go, look, where are we? Should I be safe and call something in the high 30s, early 40s, or should I just go all out for the win and go for two or something and see if it skews that way? Now is Piper Perabo in this thing?
No, she's not.
I will. Yeah, you got me. All right, I'm going to lock myself in.
Oh, man.
Dennis Miller, how say you?
Well, I got to throw. See, this week I'm playing okay, actually, but everybody else is playing better, so I'm still off the podium at this point. So I have to take a chance. Inspector Gadget. See, Matthew Broderick is not so powerful that they wouldn't wait in on him if they had a chance. I would say this got a 20.
20. Ball, Brian, how say
you? I think I'm playing from the outside. Dave hit a few really close, so I'm playing from behind. I said 10.
10? Not bad.
How grim could it be? Mm. You know, Inspector Gadget, as I understand from the movie bill there, has a fancy car. If you want to take to one of the three rivers that Pittsburgh sits on, you could take the Gateway Clipper. I, though, prefer to take the bus, 36.
36. Oh, wow. The bus. Gina Grant has no idea what you're talking about.
But it's so funny the way he says it doesn't matter.
Jerome Bettis.
She was in Rocky and Bullwinkle, released the same, just a few months later.
Wow.
So I knew it was all one of those franchises that was way past its time.
Think I'm knocked way back. I'm probably the last of the pack because of my initial movie from Sudden Death when I said 12, which totally screwed me. So I'm going to revisit that monster and go back to 12.
Good play, good play.
The great Terry Bradshaw. I went with 17, who was, I don't know, who was this fat?
Mark Joe Gilliam.
Leaf.
Mark Joe Grace.
Gilliam. Yeah. All right. I went with 17.
One of you would be right on the nose if you simply flipped your numbers around. Inspector Gadget is rotten at 21%.
Clementi, Michelle Breyer, and so on.
18 is where the people have it.
Michelle Breyer. Wow.
A star-crossed number on the banks of the Three Rivers. Both Clemente and Breyer die in a couple of modes of transportation.
Well, as long as you're going Steelers, 21, Nolan Cromwell. DB for the Rams.
Sure.
All right, what do we got?
Our scores lay out.
Hold on. I have no idea now. This is tight. What was yours, Brian?
The last one was, I was off by 11 and Dave was off by 15. So I picked up a couple points in the last
one.
Yeah. I feel like Dennis and Adam may still be hanging around here. Let's see.
Dennis Miller with a fantastic showing. Well, okay, Lee Solid. 59.
Wow.
A score of 59.
Bad.
Gina Grad, you did not fare as well as Dennis Miller. You're coming in at 76.
Tough.
So, Gina, you're definitely off the podium.
Bye, guys.
Bald Brian, 42. You made the podium. Did you win the game? We'll find out. Adam Carolla, Dennis Miller at a 59. Remember that. Who's going to be on the podium?
Mm.
Adam, did you do better or worse than 59?
I'm really swimming this time, but I must say, this is I race cars professionally. This is amongst the most intense moments of my life.
I will tell you that the difference in the podium is 1 point.
Oh!
And you, my boss, are off of it.
Oh, wow.
A score of 60.
Oh!
Me and you, Dave.
Leaving Dave Damashek.
Can I say, it is unheard of for a greenhorn to walk into the studio and dominate this game. Even as Dennis Miller's now crawled his way back on the podium knows that it takes a long time. So the idea that you can just jump into the deep end of this game and possibly dominate is unprecedented. Go ahead.
Freddie Lynn over there.
Dave, you played with style and pizzazz, and I really like that. You represented the Steel City. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. The City of Champions.
And you might as well give Bald Brian a get-out-of-jerk-free card because you won!
Oh,
with a score of 31!
We're from the town with the Super Bowl team and David Damashek. Here come the Pittsburgh Steelers! Join me, Dennis Miller! Franco! Remember when he would come out before the playoff games on the back of a pickup truck and sing
Myron.
I forget the guy's name, would come out on the bed of a pickup truck in his beige overcoat, and with 53,000 people singing along with him, he would sing the Steeler Polka. Dun, 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 dun,
can
dun,
I say
dun,
this?
Dun,
when your nickname... Can I say this? When your nickname is the Sausage King, you're either the straightest man alive... or the gas. Nothing in between. We should do rich man, poor man with gay and straight.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like straight man. I feel the sausage king is the chaps. Yeah. Of that.
Yeah.
David Demeshek, who do we have in number 31 over the course of the season?
Mel Blunt.
Donnie Schell.
Oh, no, Donnie
47
Schell,
was Blunt.
Donnie Schell, wrong. Bald black man
by
in
the
DB?
Did you see Elon Musk fire up the
burning tree Blunt now? Yeah.
Jesus.
Above the law.
Hey, Dennis, I will give you a plug, the Dennis Miller option. You can listen on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. Always great to talk to you, my friend.
Fun game today, and I'm happy with the bronze as long as my fellow Pittsburgher gets the gold. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
It's the Washington Tomatoes game.
Pittsburgher.
You know
how it's got to be a place they're serving a Pittsburgher.
Oh, yeah. They came up with a Roethlisberger, too, you'll recall, early in his career.
Mm-hmm. Is he wearing a helmet these days?
They're like, whatever. Just go ahead, man.
My feeling with Roethlisberger getting in a motorcycle accident without a helmet was not the safety part. You know, when you're playing quarterback for the Rams, you could probably ride around on a zipper scooter unrecognized through Hollywood because it's all crazy nationalities. That's like some sort of a Tijuana bazaar on the street. There's nothing. It's just people selling cats and fruit and stuff. And like, there's nothing left anymore of Hollywood. You're not in the United States if you walk through there. So thus, if you're the blonde-haired quarterback for the Rams, you walk around wherever you want. You're not going to stop. But if you're in Pittsburgh and you're 6'6", a Big Ben, and you're on a motorcycle and you don't have a helmet, you're going to
just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're going to have people chasing you down the street on foot to see where you end up on that bike.
It's almost
right?
Like he wanted to draw that kind of attention.
Almost.
As if.
Interesting theory.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy. I
can't imagine a more recognizable figure going through the streets of Pittsburgh on a motorcycle.
Gina Grad was not there, but most of the rest of us were all together the moment that happened. We were on the air on the Adam Carolla radio show when we got the news that he had just put his face into the windshield, and it really looked like, his life was in peril. And I remember we're doing the show like, wait, the guy who just won the Super Bowl for the Steelers is on death's door? I remember doing the show.
Cold sweat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, though? In honor of him, I finished the show that day because that's what he would have wanted.
And let me explain to all the people who are listening right now who live in states where they don't have a helmet law. There is no law called the frying pan law either, where that prevents me from putting my face in the frying pan when I'm making bacon. But I still don't do it.
You know
what I'm saying? It's like you can still buy a helmet if you live in Florida. Or maybe somewhere in Pennsylvania where they may not enforce this law, and you still may wear a helmet when you're riding a motorcycle.
There's no hatchet law. There's no mousetrap law. We can go on for days.
There is no space heater law. There's no falling asleep. Well, I guess if you fall asleep while you're smoking, you might break a law.
There's no battery acid law.
Right. I'm saying it's a safety issue. So put your helmet on.
There is no rule in the rule book that says you can't have a donkey kick extra points.
Right.
That's
no rule.
One thing I do know.
Quick breaking news / question for you guys. Brian, you might know this. You don't watch TV. Who's the football player that was in Webster, who played George Papadopoulos?
Alex Karras.
Okay, what team did he play for?
Lions.
Lions, mainly.
So we talked about Webster in a few minutes ago. We're talking about football.
Yeah, we were talking about Mike Webster.
Brian made a joke about the show Webster.
Sure, right.
And I just got a breaking news alert that George Papadopoulos, a Trump aide, is going to spend 14 days in jail for lying about the Russia probe.
Well, almost back with my Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Weird day.
Huh.
All right.
I just wanted to throw
Let me tell you about Simply Safe. I'm a big fan of Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Home security. It's prepared for anything. If a storm takes out the power, if your phone line gets cut, keypads destroyed, Simply Safe is ready. They'll get you the help you need. Maybe you don't need to be ready for the worst case scenario, but Simply Safe is going to be ready for the worst case scenario, whether you like it or not. It's always ready. And it's just $14.99 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees, just $14.99 a month. Peel and stick up and running in under an hour. Batteries last up to 10 years. I recommend SimpliSafe to everyone I know. So go to simplisafe.com/Adam. That is simplisafe.com/Adam. I have it at home. Max Pata has it. Dawson has it. Drew has it. Garrigus has it. SimpliSafe.com/Adam. Quick break. Back with a live Good Sports right after this.
Good Sports.
It's time for
Will
Sports.
One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a special edition of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports with Adam Carolla and Bald Brian, and especially Gina Grad, who's been chomping at the bit all summer to weigh in on all the big sports issues. And also a shout out to the one man house band, Dick Banks, still the best there is. But today I want to tell you real quick about ButcherBox. Hey, everybody, 100% grass fed and finished beef. Free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork delivered to your door on a monthly basis. And best of all for Damashek, I'm now in on it. I'm getting my own. It's the best. What a revelation. What a time in which we're living. I feel bad for all who walked the planet Earth before ButcherBox came into our lives. It shows up at our door.
You hear that, Andrew Carnegie? You're screwed, dude.
Sorry for your terrible life.
Yeah.
Each box comes with 9 to 11 pounds of meat, just $129 a month, less than $6 a meal, free shipping nationwide, except Alaska and Hawaii, but all right, they're 48. That's the good news, and the other two can take care of business themselves.
Left offer. A note, by the way. Oh, yeah, get to the offer.
Offer, $20 off and free ground beef for life, 2 pounds of ground beef in every order for the life of your subscription. How about that? Go to ButcherBox.com and use the code ADAM. ADAM.
Left a note.
ADAM.
For old guy before I left the house, said, make Gina's meatball casserole.
Ooh, yeah.
Don't do it with turkey. Do it with the Butcher Box ground beef.
So this good. Is awesome. And by the way, humanely raised and never given antibiotics or hormones as more and more people focus in.
All right. I was thinking about you, Sheck. I don't know what you got, if you got a creep of the week or what you got loaded, but I was thinking about the NFL music. I was watching the highlights. I'm in general, am angry at all the music that is pumped in. Again, famously, me and Mike August alone in a Detroit sports bar with hockey on every TV set on just like a Thursday afternoon. You know, it was like one of these things where the gig's done or we're checked out of the hotel and the flight's not till 4 o'clock and we got an hour and a half to kill. And we just found ourselves in the middle of the ghost town of Detroit, just sitting there at a sports bar, and they're pumping in Britney Spears, and there's nobody else in the place, and I'm angry. And the sports, the NFL had the greatest music of all time when they would play those highlights, and they would play that music composed for the NFL. It's the best stuff ever.
Iconic. Dun, dun. I unironically, Sam Spence is the composer of this and most of your favorite NFL films, you specifically, Ace, because I know you favor those 70s era ones. This is, of course, Roundup is another one. You can go through about 15 or 20 of them, and they're the Sam Spence numbers. And I unironically say, one of the great composers in American history. I don't know. Maybe I don't know about music, but I say this is the most inspirational music. I'd love it to be the score of my life as I go through my life. It would create greater urgency and import to everything I do.
It's very sweeping.
And
yeah. Sweeping landscape.
With the tip of the cap to all the old German guys, you listen to the score of a movie like Gladiator or Master and Commander or something, you go, this is world-class music coming out of here. And this is 4 football, but it's world-class music. I think the NFL films guys went abroad to go do this, right?
I don't know the history of Sam Spence's background was, but yeah, I think that combined with the what they call the voice of God, there has never been anybody as good. I loved Harry Callis before he was gone, and John Hamm, of course, he does All or Nothing for NFL films, that series, and but the greatest voice of all was John Facenda. There are 27 teams in the National Football League, and then there are the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Can we make a law? I see a lot of these shows. I'll turn on some of my car, you know, indie, whatever, movies and docs or whatever, and I'll realize at the end it was narrated by Brad Pitt or something like that. Can we make a rule that if you're above an 8.5 in the looks department, no VO work for your ass?
Amen.
That's for fat dudes with hook nose and male pattern balls.
Thank you.
You're already banging supermodels. You're already starring in action films. And now you got to do the fucking VO work?
The faceless work?
The faceless work? We need your beautiful mug behind that mic? Like, there's so many good-looking dudes.
Lev Schreiber.
They're all these hunky leading men. Yep. What do we need? You must have everything? Yep. Oh, what are you going to do? Well, my next role. A romantic comedy where I play the man and the woman. I end up wanting to fuck myself. I guess I must take all work.
Talking to you, John Krasinski.
That's right.
The Rock doing Moana. I mean, they all do.
When you look at these sports things, I've been looking at a lot of this sports stuff, and you're surprised at the end to see that it was done by hunky leading man. I don't like
fair.
It. It's not fair.
I want you
Listen
to negotiate.
Up, John Hamm.
Hey, John Hamm. I think like Eric Bana does stuff. There's all these good looking. You got more work than you can handle on camera. Yeah. Do you need to take more work away from ugly men?
Talking to you, friend of the show, Adam Ray.
That's right. Adam Ray. All right.
He does Hyundai.
Okay. Yeah, these guys, all these sports docs and all these things, they're right up in there.
I love that music, and it is different than what it was back in the 70s. It's not as grand, as Gina points out, the current music, but the combo of Harry Callis or John Facenda over that soaring NFL Films music. Second to none. No wonder legions of people of a certain age became hardcore NFL fans watching that. In fact, Ace, you know, Keith Cosgrove and Ken Rogers, the gambler, are they're the muckety mucks there at NFL Films. You got to get them on this show, and we'll figure it out, because maybe that would be a good thing. Ace Carolla voices the next, Hard Knocks or something.
Yeah. Except for...
They closed the door very quickly when I volunteered my services. There are 27 teams in the National Football League, and they're the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were like, pass. Hard pass. Like, what? Jerks.
So I was watching the NFL on Thursday night, and I went to ESPN, and I was watching the highlights on ESPN, and they just had electronic music pumping in the background. And I thought, what? Has this infected the entire world? And I know you can't isolate it, Maxipat, or maybe you can, but...
No, we have the highlight guys talking over it.
Right, but you can hear it's just sort of syntho, sort of.
I really think it's
Carson Wentz. He made this happen with the time that he bought himself after this pocket started to collapse. This is what you get when you have Carson.
This is music that would be playing by the pool at a hotel you're embarrassed to be seen at in Vegas, because it was like
this long. Makes one guy miss touchdown, Eagles.
What music is this? What fan would appreciate this over what we have?
And that's going to be caught on the run.
This falls into your terrible rock category.
Yeah, it's mall tchotchke shot music.
Gennaro beats.
It also doesn't have the flavor or feel at all of football, right?
Yeah, it takes away from like the epicness of...
What is going on? How come there's nobody? Look, you have a template. The template is the greatest music ever composed for sports.
By the way, you could just stick with that. You could just play that. You don't need to have new versions of it. Just stick with that forever. Everybody will be happy.
This is reminiscent of Kentucky Fried Chicken going with KFC. Hey, we're going to be hip. We're going to be new. We're going to be cool. KFC.
Who was complaining?
Dude.
Right.
Yeah. I like Kentucky Fried Chicken. And KFC stands for that. So, what do we need this crappy electronic bullshit in our? By the way, must it pervade every part of our life? Must it invade every single inch of my soul. Can it not? Sports bars, highlights, steakhouses, it doesn't matter. It's everywhere in life now.
That really sucks for you specifically.
It does, because I'm not a 13-year-old girl.
What if it were Ranchero? Would that make you happier?
Oh, wow.
You know why? I'll tell you why. All right, Max Patton, get me angry. We could at least play Adam Carolla's Ranchero Accordion Countdown, which is a game we haven't played on this show, and we'll do it, I don't know, maybe later in the week, which is we pick a random Ranchero or Ranchera, I can't remember, Ranchero song, and we all have to bet.
Terrible Rock sounds better.
How long? Gina. We have what? To bet and see how long it takes before the accordion kicks in. The most annoying of all of the year. And I mean, the over-under is usually like 1.7 seconds or something. And
sometimes
no matter
you
what.
You can bet zero because it leads off.
It's just
accordion.
Right at the beginning. Oh! I don't know how the Ranchero music came about, but I have a feeling that there was a discussion where somebody said, look, you know how in Germany they're doing all that symphonic stuff and the strings and the horns and it's very melodic.
Beautiful.
And everything? And, you know, they have Porsche and they have Mercedes-Benz and they have BMW and they have Audi. Well, that's all the work of a bunch of great engineers who had to study real hard and everything. We're Mexico. We don't want to build cars. We want to eat. So we need some music that would inspire people to drink and eat more than it would be, get out a protractor and a compass and draw an amazing piece of engineering automobile. But we need something that's got a little more flavor, like a music no one could ever study to. That should be our national theme. Their theme is music you put on to help you study. Ours is going to be music no sane person could ever study to.
You can't even ignore it.
A dog cannot nap while this is playing in the same room. He's got to get up and leave. That is the decree. That is your challenge.
That lends itself to the activity of football. That seemed better than that did.
It did. Anything but the electronic, soulless nothingness of the music. And I don't think they have to clear the music. They own it, right?
Hey, can I round out some good sports, though, with some more good news we heard at the very top of the show?
Oh, yeah, sports.
We're not talking about sports.
Yeah. How dare you?
I don't know if you're in a position, Brian, to step in on Adam and I. The show is called Good Sports, and clearly we're talking about sports.
Okay, so. Well, carry on, Bet Boys.
I do want to offer a couple pieces of good news. First of all, in encouragement, go watch our pal. No matter what Bald Brian says about him, Cousin Sal's a great guy. And I didn't mean to bring that up on the air.
That's weird you would bring that up.
Best wishes to Cousin Sal as he starts his FS1 show. Today, if you're listening on Monday, he begins his new venture on FS1 now. He's part of a new show that they're doing 5 days a week there. So
I'm excited. I'm a big fan of Cousin Sal, and I will permit him to do VO work. Under my guidelines, he's going to be toward the front of the line of guys who can take over for Brad Pitt doing and John Hamm doing VO work. Okay.
I would be very curious for your list. I want to see which side of the ledger everyone that we mutually know falls on. I want to know who you find acceptable.
If you take a look, Max Zapata, there's like those F1 docs and like those, they're docs that are like car racing ones, but more like motorcycle F1 stuff, like more European, not NASCAR stuff. You will see like on Netflix, they have one, they had one on, the F1 team, and they had another one on a guy going to Le Mans or racing Le Mans or whatever it is. All those Le Mans F1 things. There's always some good-looking, hunky dude doing all the VO work.
And speaking of that, what about Ewan McGregor?
Ewan McGregor, that's right. Hey, he's another one.
Yeah, he can't be doing VO.
The other bit of good news is for Mike Dawson on the heels of Guactober's arrival and all that. You're also, speaking produce, you're now officially off the hook for your infamous cottage cheese calzone suggestion that you made the one Jimmy Kimmel standing by his brick oven watching football one Sunday.
Never happened.
It never happened.
I never mentioned cottage cheese. Right, I said I don't like ricotta.
You made some kind of cheese that has no business in a calzone, and Kimmel took you to task for it.
He's wrong, you're wrong, and you're all propagating a lie.
Well, listen, I'm trying to do you a solid and get you off the hook here, at least make room at the top of the podium for bad pizza takes, because one Adam Carolla conceded a couple of weeks ago on Good Sports that he now takes his pizza with pineapple.
Oh, yes.
Let it be known that I do not order my pizza that way, but that I'm comfortable enough with my sexuality to admit that I enjoy it.
Lynette, make sure they get the sweet Hawaiian on one of them.
I like sausage and onion or sausage and pepper.
What is the sport?
But I still will have a slice of that. And there are many other people that are living like Muranos with me, hiding their affection.
I do not doubt that.
It was high because I know because when the Hawaiian pizza shows up, it goes.
Yeah,
all of it. Many Muranos hiding in plain sight.
Doesn't make it right.
We have three ranchero songs.
Dawson has three. Yeah.
Before you do that, just a little teaser for news. There is a new pizza topping that will divide this room.
Oh, wow. I saw
that.
Yeah,
we're looking for reasons to divide. All right, let me tell you about DraftKings, and then we'll play our ranchero songs. I don't want to play the whole round of the game, but we'll see how fast the accordion kicks in. Let's see. DraftKings. Week two of football season, which means a second shot at victory with DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. This weekend, over $2 million in total prizes, and you can play free with your first deposit. With one-week fantasy at DraftKings, you choose when you play. Draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment. That's right. You are the GM. Just choose your players. Stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up. Nothing makes the football Sunday more exciting than having a DraftKings lineup on the line. It is the best. We love these guys, and it's part of the reason why football season is so great. It's DraftKings. It's DraftKings, right, Dawson?
Download the app or go to DraftKings.com now. Use Good Sports to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $2 million in total prizes. That's code GOODSPORTS, only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right, I'll bring it on home for Good Sports here. So for Adam Carolla, Bald Brian, and again, Gina Grad.
Chomping at the bit.
Gina Sportsy grad.
That's what they call me.
And by the way, I do want to tell you, now the football season is here, as Ace mentions, NFL.com/DDFP, the home for all things you need to know about pro football game picks and all that jazz. Make sure you check it out. Much obliged for that. But for now, and tomorrow I will tell the tale of the kickout fantasy league. I know August did it last week, but I'll give you my first person account. But for now, for the gang, Podcast One Sports, Good Sports. Good Sports.